what President-elect Joe Biden's potential economics team says about his administration's priorities.
If there's a common theme from their outlook, though, it's that they believe in the need for aggressive fiscal stimulus to help the economy get back to where it was before the pandemic started.
And how the speedy vaccine development pushed the Dow to its best month in decades. Plus, what to do if turkey is taking over your fridge. It's Monday, November 30th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Here's what's news. Drug maker Moderna is asking U.S. and European health regulators to authorize use of its COVID-19 vaccine after it was shown to be 94.1% effective in a recent clinical trial. Another vaccine from Pfizer and BioNTech is already under review. Our pharmaceutical reporter, Peter Loftus.
It sets up the possibility now that the government could approve both of those vaccines sometime in December if it decides that there's enough evidence that they're safe and effective. And so that could lead to the distribution of doses pretty soon thereafter. There is only expected to be enough doses to vaccinate about 20 million Americans during December. And so federal and state officials are going to have to decide who should be prioritized to get those doses. So you may see that they'll decide that healthcare workers should be near the top of the list, or people over the age of 65 who live in nursing homes. And then next year, the supplies are expected to gradually increase so that by sometime between April and June, if everything goes smoothly, you could see anyone in the general public being able to get vaccinated.
Hopes for a vaccine have propelled stocks in recent weeks, leading the Dow to cross the 30,000 mark for the first time ever and finish out its best month since 1987. The major indexes ended the final day of November down, but the Dow was up 12% for the month. The Nasdaq also finished the month up 12%. The S&P 500 was up 11%. Our markets reporter, Akane Otani, says even though other parts of the economy aren't rebounding as quickly, investors are pricing in for a better 2021.
It seems almost sort of gravity-defying, the path that the markets took. But I think what's important to note here is that the market isn't necessarily reflecting whether things are good or bad per se, but whether things have turned out better than expected or worse than expected. And when it comes to the pandemic, I think a lot of money managers had expected to see another pickup in cases over the colder months as a lot of people are gathering indoors and traveling for holidays. What they weren't so sure about was when we were going to see some kind of vaccine that might help us fight this pandemic. And that's where news has been a lot better than expected. I mean, we saw three different teams post vaccine trial results that were actually pretty optimistic. And I think that's given investors a lot of hope about what next year might bring.
The market's rally has also swept up the digital currency Bitcoin. Its price soared above $19,000 today and surpassed its previous record set back in December of 2017. Bitcoin's price has nearly tripled this year, and it's up 97% just since early September. But markets reporter Anna Hertenstein says it's still a very small market.
The entire value of all the Bitcoins in the world is still, it's around $330 billion. So that's a lot smaller than just the market cap of Apple, and it's a lot smaller than any other asset class. That's something you have to keep in mind as well, that you can see these rallies from a relatively small number of people buying.
The Government Accountability Office says the U.S. Labor Department has published what it's calling flawed estimates of weekly jobless claims. In its report, the government watchdog also said states have underpaid people who were eligible for certain pandemic-related unemployment benefits. Our economics reporter, Sarah Cheney Cambon, has more.
The GAO report did indicate that at least some people who had been receiving benefits through a new program for gig economy workers were not receiving the proper benefit amount. They were essentially getting underpaid. And so we're interested in kind of finding out, you know, how widespread is that? How many states are kind of updating their processes to account for those changes?
The Labor Department didn't respond to requests for comment. Coming up after the break, what President-elect Joe Biden's picks for his economic team can tell us about the incoming administration's priorities. The Wall Street Journal has learned that President-elect Joe Biden plans to nominate a team of liberal and centrist economic advisors, several of them veterans of the Obama administration. One of their key challenges will be dealing with the economic fallout of the coronavirus pandemic amid signs that the broader recovery has been slowing. Joining me now is Wall Street Journal national political reporter Ken Thomas. Hi, Ken. Thanks for being here.
Good to be with you.
So start by telling us more about Biden's key picks to lead his economic team.
So Biden is filling out his economic team, who will be serving with Treasury Secretary nominee Janet Yellen. Biden announced that he's chosen Neera Tanden, who is the head of the Center for American Progress here in D.C., to serve as director of the Office of Management and Budget. He's going to have Cecilia Rouse, a respected Princeton University labor economist, be the chairwoman of the Council for Economic Advisors. And then he's also filling out his Treasury Department. Wally Adeyemo, who is a veteran of the Obama administration, will be Yellen's top deputy at the Treasury Department. And then he's also picking two of his trusted campaign economic advisors, Jared Bernstein and Heather Bushy, to serve as members of the CEA alongside Cecilia Rouse.
So Tanden has clashed with Republicans when she served as an aide to Hillary Clinton. What are the prospects for her getting the Senate votes needed for confirmation? And are there any other challenges the other nominees could face?
Tanden's nomination could be one of the early fights that we could see on the confirmation front. She's someone who's well known in Democratic circles. She was a longtime advisor to Hillary Clinton and played a big role in both of Hillary Clinton's campaigns. As the head of the Center for American Progress, she has tangled with people on the left, including allies of Bernie Sanders. There was some back and forth with Bernie Sanders about a year or two ago on where the party would go after the 2016 elections. Tanden has said that, you know, she's worked to unite these factions since then. But then she can also face a lot of problems with Republicans. She's been highly critical of President Trump during the last 4 years. And a lot of Republicans are saying now that they would not be willing to support her. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how the Biden transition goes to back her up in this confirmation process and how she works to navigate what we expect to be a very narrowly divided Senate. Right now, Republicans control 50 seats. If they win one of these two Senate races in Georgia, where we'll have runoffs in January, they'll have a majority. So someone like Neera Tanden would have to get some Republican support in order to win confirmation.
And Ken, we've also just gotten word today that Biden is expected to choose Brian Deese as the director of the National Economic Council. Tell us about some of the potential conflicts there.
Well, Brian Deese is highly respected from his work with the Obama administration. He was a very influential member of the auto task force that helped rescue General Motors and Chrysler. He then went to work for the National Economic Council. He was the deputy director. He also had a stint at the White House Office of Management and Budget. He's been a key advisor to President Obama on climate change issues. He also, though, you know, will be coming from BlackRock, and that has raised some concerns in more liberal circles about whether that firm could have undue influence on a Biden administration. Another choice that Biden made, Wally Adeyemo, spent a couple years working for BlackRock as well. So you could see some resistance to Deese's nomination for the NEC from some within the more leftward wing of the party.
Some of the names you mentioned were also part of the Obama administration. What can you tell us overall about Biden's picks here for the economics team and what they have in common?
I think if there's a common thread, it's experience and diversity. Biden has made clear that diversity is a very big and important factor in his thought process as he fills out his administration. There will be a number of firsts when they are announced tomorrow in Wilmington. Janet Yellen will be the first woman, if confirmed, to run the Treasury Department. Wally Adeyemo would be the first Black Deputy Treasury Secretary. Neera Tanden would be the first woman of South Asian descent to run OMB. Cecilia Rouse would be the first Black woman to run CEA. It's important for the Biden team to show that they're breaking barriers. They also feel like they are turning to people with a lot of expertise, many of which are steeped in years serving in the Obama administration. I think if there's a common theme from their outlook, though, it's that they believe in the need for aggressive fiscal stimulus to help the economy get back to where it was before the pandemic started. And I think you're likely to see them advocate for expanded government spending. They're going to be very supportive of programs like infrastructure and building out the green economy, and also trying to address some of these racial inequities in the economy that Biden spoke about a lot during the campaign. That's something that Cecilia Rouse has worked on, as well as two other advisors, Jared Bernstein and Heather Boushey, who played a very pivotal role in Biden's development of some of these policies.
Talk more about that and how the makeup of the team can tell us about Biden's economic priorities and agenda going forward, and how that would mark a shift in the nation's economic policy under the Trump administration.
Biden is someone who is fairly clear about where he stands. If you want to know Biden's policy positions, just go back to the speeches that he's delivered during the course of the campaign. Transition team officials tell me that that is the best roadmap for how he's going to roll out these policies once he's sworn in. And it's going to be a much different approach than what we've seen from the Trump administration, much more of an emphasis on fiscal stimulus. You're likely to see more of a push in Congress for infrastructure spending. Infrastructure was something that really had a lot of trouble getting through during the Trump era. And I think you're also going to see a push from the Biden team to turn back the 2017 tax overhaul that President Trump was able to get through and try to raise taxes on corporations and high-earning individuals. But that is going to be a real challenge in a divided Senate. Many Republicans would consider that to be dead on arrival. And if Republicans are able to control the Senate, Mitch McConnell is likely to block any kind of tax increase.
That's Wall Street Journal political reporter Ken Thomas. Ken, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thanks.
And finally, turkey leftovers. They're often a staple of Thanksgiving weekend. But this year, the leftovers have become a bit of a problem for some Americans. Family gatherings were smaller, but the birds were still big. Now, there are piles of turkey packed in fridges and freezers across the country. Our reporter Erin Aylworth says people are doing all they can to get rid of it, and turkey sellers are trying to help with creative recipes like the turkey bacon bomb.
It is basically a baseball-sized round of chopped turkey and leftover stuffing. And then you take four slices of bacon and you weave them together around this ball. And then you cook that sucker. And that is a turkey bacon bomb. And I have been promised by Ray Lampe, a.k.a. Dr. Barbecue, the National Turkey Federation's spokeschef, that when you are so bored with turkey after eating all of these leftovers, that the turkey bacon bomb will do it for you.
And that's what's news for this Monday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.